our Lord God and Heavenly Father. We want to praise and glorify your great and holy name for what you have done through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through the cross, he has paid for our sin, the guilt of our sin in full. On the cross, his blood has washed us clean. Through his resurrection, Lord God, you are declaring to the world that it is your seal of approval that your great salvation plan has come to fruition. Lord God, we just pray that tonight the speaker won't be heard, but indeed your Holy Spirit. We pray that despite the shortcomings of the speaker tonight, that your word will be proclaimed boldly and powerfully, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into our hearts, transforming us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. In preparing for this, on the radio, I was surprised to hear Handel's Messiah. And I couldn't help but get caught up in the Hallelujah chorus. It's the idea of so many of us worshipping our great God. And I couldn't help but see how beautifully this all ties in with the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That the cross, it's been taken away now, the cross represents God's great hallelujah to his salvation plan for us. And I hopefully, if we've got time, I'll touch on that verse in Revelations where it comes from. But what a great work he has done. So tonight, we're going to be discussing our victorious hope. And I hope that really excites you, that we have a victorious hope, a certain hope through what our Lord Jesus has done. And soon, our Heavenly Father, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, will reign. One day soon, all of creation will worship them. Tonight, with God's help, we're going to reflect on how through Christ alone, our sins have been forgiven. We have been made right before a holy God. And even more than all of this, we have been brought into relationship with a holy God. That just blows my mind. Death, our enemy, has been destroyed. And one day soon, we will spend eternity in the presence of God. That's our future for those who believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we actually had it read out this morning, verse 3, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because we know that Jesus lives, we can know with a certainty that our hope in this life and our hope for the future is a living hope." In verses, I've broken this into a couple of sections, as you saw in the Bible reading. In sections 12 to 19, we see how Paul highlights the resurrection as an essential foundation for our hope and faith. Turn with me to verses 12 and 14, and we'll read them together. "Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how does some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain, and your faith also is vain." I really love this section, Paul gives us such powerful and strong negative consequences to there not being a resurrection. And this gives us a great contrast to the amazing truth that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. Clearly we see that if the resurrection wasn't true, our faith in Jesus would be in vain, a waste of time. Praise God. Praise God. The truth of the resurrection is the exact opposite. That Jesus was undeniably raised from the dead. You can actually read a little bit more about that in verses 3 to about 11, where it gives exact eyewitness accounts. It even gives an eyewitness account from a man who hated Jesus. Testimony that we can have to give us certainty that Jesus Christ was indeed raised from the dead. Verse 14, it says that if Jesus was not raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith is also vain. In the NIV, it uses the word futile. I really like that. It gives the idea that we are just wasting our time. We might as well chase after leprechauns and fairies. But that is the opposite of the truth. Because the truth of the resurrection is the exact opposite, that Christ has been raised. Our faith is solid. We have a full hope. Our faith and hope are our most precious possessions that we have in this life. Verse 17 tells us that without the resurrection, we would still be in our sin and heading for a lost eternity. Let's read that together. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sin. Because we know that Christ has been raised, we can know for certain, no matter what the devil brings back to our mind, no matter what we actually do, through Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven. Not to say that we make light of God's grace, but that forgiveness is guaranteed. It is a certainty. And we are certain of it because of Christ's resurrection. In verse 18, it continues that if there is no resurrection, then we will perish. We are still lost and heading to an eternity without God. Then those who, having fallen asleep, have perished, giving the idea of an eternal death. But because we know the reality of the resurrection, we can believe with full certainty that we are no longer lost, that our God Himself has found us. He has saved us and has guaranteed a place for us in eternity. I hope this is touching your heart as it is mine, to think that this one moment in time can change our lives forever, that through Christ's miraculous resurrection, we have so much certainty. And God wants us to have that certainty tonight. In verse 19, we read, if we have hoped in Christ, in this life only, we are of all men most pitied. What a terrible thought that is. We'd be people chasing after fantasies, and dreams. But praise God for the truth of the resurrection. If there is no resurrection, we have no hope in this life or the one to come. Our faith, our hope will benefit us very little in this life because of the resounding assurance we have. We can know with certainty that we have a great hope in this life, but an even greater hope in the one to come. The resurrection powerfully declares that God has found us, that God has saved us, that God has set us free from our sin, and that we have a great living hope in this life and for all eternity. I'm going to skip forward to verse 26, where it says, "The last enemy that will be abolished is death." In the NIV, it actually uses the word destroyed. So the last enemy destroyed is death. Science and society will try and convince us. They tell us that death is a natural and essential part of life. But God's word clearly tells us that death is our enemy. Death has corrupted and decayed all of creation. Many of us have experienced sorrow at the loss of loved ones, those so close to us, even those taken too early. Death has caused so much pain, so much sorrow. But praise God, the resurrection of Jesus shows us that Jesus has total power over death. Turn with me to 2 Timothy, and we'll explore this a bit further in chapter 1, verse 10. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 10. "But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who abolished death and has brought life and immortality into light through the gospel, through the resurrection of Jesus. We have a victorious hope." The death, our great enemy, is no longer the end. We can confidently look forward to the day when Christ will soon abolish death, when we will pass from this life into glory, knowing that death has no hold over us. I'd like you to turn with me to our next section, verses 50 to 58. And just so you know, the last few sections, few verses that we passed over, really highlight the importance, the necessity of us, our old lives dying, our old bodies dying, so we might inherit the new life. But in 50 to 58, the hope of the life to come, we are all aware, maybe not Josh yet, we're all going to get old. We all get old. Our bodies will inevitably fail us. We see in verses 50 to 57 that our perishing, decaying, frail mortal bodies will be changed for imperishable mortal bodies. And I'd like to include perfect bodies. Read with me verses 50 to 53. "Now I say this, brethren, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. we will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trump will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. What a thing to glory in. Our mortal decaying bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Or in other words, our current bodies are just not good enough. So getting on the treadmill might be a waste of time now. Because Jesus has been raised to life, we have a great hope that we too will be raised. Not in the bodies of this world, but perfect bodies that are fit for the glory of heaven. Not only do we hope in imperishable, immortal bodies, but have the glorious hope that we will see God the Father. We will see our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pick up on that in Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 to 17. So it was Thessalonians chapter 4 that really speaks about this well. This is a Bible verse that many of us should know. Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we, who are alive and remain, will be caught up together with them in the clouds. And who are we going to meet? Meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. That's our promise. That's our hope that we have, brothers and sisters. It fills me with great joy, as I'm sure it does you. Praise God. Christ's resurrection confirms to us that we have an amazing, indescribable hope to look forward to. In verse 55 to 56, we have that great phrase. We are again reminded that the result of sin is death. But now we are told that death no longer has the victory over us. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of the sin is law. We can be certain that Christ has once and for all dealt with our sin upon the cross. Christ Jesus has the victory. In verse 57 it says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I love this whole section. It has that special phrase that basically thanks be to God, declaring, reminding us that it's God the Father who's personally involved in dealing with our sin. But then God who gives us the victory. This is talking in present tense. We now have that victory over sin. God has given us this victory. Right now, in our lives, are there sins that we struggle with? I know in my life, there are definitely times when I slip. Are we taking hold of that victory that our God has given us? When we feel discouraged about certain things, do we take hold of the truth that Jesus Christ's resurrection has set me free from the power of sin? God has given us the victory. And the final verse, I really love this. This whole chapter, I keep saying that, but I do this. So good. Therefore, my beloved brethren, verse 58, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain. The death and resurrection are the foundations that our lives, our hope are built on. Tonight, I want us to know for certain this is a strong foundation. It is a certain foundation. It is a foundation that will not be moved. We need to, brothers and sisters, fix our eyes on Jesus, on the victorious hopes that we have. Through Christ's death and resurrection, we have forgiveness of our sin. We have been brought into a personal relationship with God the Father. Christ's resurrection confirms that we are no longer slaves to sin and death, that God has given us the victory over these. And in closing, if there's any of us here tonight who don't know the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior, then I ask you, search your heart, search the Scriptures. Tonight, God is telling us, without Jesus Christ, we are lost. Without Jesus Christ, we are still under the guilt of our sin. Without Jesus Christ, we are heading to a lost eternity. He wants us to know for certain that without Jesus, we have not been set free, that we have no hope, that this life, we have no hope in the one to come. Please, tonight, God is offering us so much with certainty for us to hang on to. Come before Him tonight. Ask Him, ask God the Father to save you, to have mercy on you, and believe in your heart that Jesus was indeed raised from the dead, and you will be saved. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Our Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord. It is so chock full of great truths to see your heart throughout all of it, to know that you are a God of great love, great compassion, who dearly cares for us, who wants us to have a certainty in our faith and hope in you and your Son, Jesus Christ, that you have indeed got great things planned for us now and into the future. Lord God, we pray that these words really do fan the flames of our heart, that we do seek to serve you all the more because we know what you have done for us through Jesus Christ. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.